Welcome back to the training center. We're so excited as we are transforming our mindsets to embrace the transformation for kingdom rule and wealth transfer. These precious promises of God has been given to us in Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 8, 17, that he give us power to get wealth in the promises of our covenant. So say in Deuteronomy 28, that we're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going out and blessed coming in, that we should be lenders to nations and not borrowers. These covenant blessing belongs to us, and how we need to begin to function in manifestations of the blessings that God have given us rightfully as sons and daughters of God, declaring that we'll never be broke another day in our life. Understanding that money cometh from our apostle, giving us a prophetic word. And so therefore we embrace it. We embrace it and we allow ourselves not to even think in limitations any longer, that we can't have, that we can't do, that we cannot be. But we are thinking according to the word of God that I can, I am, and I shall according to the promises. And that's what we're facing. So as we embrace the mindsets of the poverty, the middle class, and the wealthy, realize that you have been called to rule and to reign in the financial realm as those that are wealthy, those who are blessed of the Lord to do God's bid in the earth realm. As we continue to pick up and begin to soar in this training, this teaching, on page 137, we're in right there at the second paragraph where we're talking about the wealthy mindset is one of generosity. The wealthy mindset is one of generosity. So I want you to focus in on that as number one, that they understand, that you understand, that I understand as being blessed of the Lord, that the covenant to Abraham, Genesis 1 through 3, that God talked about that all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And part of that blessing is to transfer of you being blessed to bless someone else and to and causing that person to rise, that person to come up in life so now they can continue to bless someone else. And that's how we get all the families of the earth blessed, through those realms, by being givers. And according to Luke 6, 38, we understand that when we give and we bless, that God said, I will cause men to give back into your bosom and good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So those covenant blessings, when we give, there is a return on our giving in the overflow. So make sure you mark that as number one. The wealthy mindset is one of generosity. Let's read a little bit more down there because there's so much meat in this paragraph that I want you to see. They see the favor and privilege of their lives as a responsibility to bring nourishment and strength to the environment around them. This is the thing that you must see, that those that you're connected to of like precious faith in your community, in your assignment, that you become the person who help bring the nourishment, that bring a raising up the environment, raising up the mindsets of the heads that are hung down, folks who dreams have not yet come to reality and fruition. You're there to raise that standard, to give people hope, because God has blessed you. And we realize that in this world that we live in, this natural world, that money is such a tool that it give you choices. It give you choices. And so one of the choices that we choose as sons and daughters of God is that we choose to raise up a standard. We choose to raise up our environment. And so we come to bring change. They said also destiny to the wealthy looks like pouring their lives into the long-term benefit of the society and generation in which they live. We don't see this as a temporary patch, and then we just give to this and we just move on. No, we continue to pour in not only our finances and resources, but our ability, the wisdom that we've learned to by educating others how to do what we did, how to come out of poverty, how to manage their finances, and how to manage their lives. By educating people, this again become the game changer. It becomes the break in the back of poverty and lack in our society because we educate people. And that's what you have to understand. As a man thinketh, so is he. So if a man cannot think higher than the weekly salary, then he will never see beyond the ability of the weekly salary, because he's limited by his environment. He's limited by his income. And we're talking about supernatural wealth. We're talking about God favor. We're talking about God opening doors of abundance and opportunities for acceleration, for elevation to take place in people's lives, you know, in our lives. So we're part of that nucleus. We're part of that piece that begin to bring people into that fruition, and bring people into that wholeness. Amen. So let's go. Listen to what he says also. They live to honor the momentum of their ancestors and to build on the family inheritance for their descendants. The wealthy is always thinking about the future, those who are going to follow after them. And they're always thinking about the legacy that their family has developed and left them. So we're always building on that. We're building on the legacy of the kingdom of God. And we want to continue that for generations to generations. So we're not here to hoard up our wealth, but we're here to cause the resources that God has blessed us with to build for generations, to build for generations to come. And this would be the continuation of our legacy. It would be the legacy that you leave and I leave to our children's children as they go forward, and to make sure they have resources available to them to continue that work. So God has a definite design to bless you with millions and millions and even billions, so that this work can continue from generation to generations without limitation in this world system, you know, and without his grace being upon them to continue with that, his work in the earth realm. Very important. I want you to write this for number two, the next sentence. The wealthy understand that prosperity must expand if it's to last. The wealthy understand that prosperity must expand if it's going to last. So investing long term is important. Using our wealth to create more wealth in this blessing plan of God is what you and I must learn to do to manage well, so it can last for generations. The Bible decreed also, I think it's in Psalms 115, that your children's children should be blessed. And God, how God would bless them more and more. And he's talking about generation. Perpetual wealth coming for perpetual generation, posterity, so it can continue to increase. So we must take our get into the mindset of no limits, no borders, no walls to what God has called us to do and the amount of money that he wants us to manage for his kingdom to flourish in the earth realm. So the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That we begin to understand that the kingdom wealth, amen, is not earthly government wealth. So we're not dependent on the government to take care of us. We're not dependent on the government even to support what we're doing. This is a kingdom assignment, and God is responsible for taking care and providing and meeting doors as he gives us wisdom, insight, and understanding how to do business in the earth realm. This money will continue to come in and go out, amen, for generations to come to meet the needs and elevating society. This is our assignment. So number two, make sure you underline that. The wealthy understand that prosperity must expand if it's gonna last. Your individual wealth as well as the kingdom assignment. You must begin to manage money well. As we understand by the poor see money just to be spent. We got to break that cycle. You know, shopping every week and buying and eating out and buying high price items constantly without taking our money to invest it, to create it so the money can go to work for us instead of we going to work for it. Making money masters instead of letting money master us. These are the things that Apostle teaches and have said over the years, and this is what we're pioneering. This is what we're ministering. This is what we're operating on for our personal lives, our ministries, and the assignment God has placed on our lives. And so make that note. Again, number one, the wealthy mindset is one of generosity. We're givers. And number two, the wealthy understand that prosperity must expand if it's going to last. If it's going to last. We got to understand that. Apostle made a statement years ago. He said, "Is the seed may leave your hand, but it'll never leave your life." He also made the statement, "Is money sown, not money gone." And those statements are vital to understanding the transition of our mind and how we see money, how we see our lives, and how we see how to expand. And how money wants to stay around you and go and come in your life. Go and come to be seed, to sown, and cause an increase of harvest to come back to your life. This is what is taught from our apostle, and this is what we also embrace. Also what we embrace. Now, on page 137, as we continue, number three, let's make note of it right off the bat here. It says, when we as believers begin to cultivate, constantly train, constantly educate ourselves, constantly put ourselves in a learning position and educate others, cultivate a world-class worldview, not just our surrounding, not just a national but international mindset, to see that God wants us to touch nations in different continents and build and establish on different continents. This is the expansion. The Bible also left us with an insight that the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light. The reason why world economics is so powerful is because they see worldview. They see worldview. Crossing nations, crossing the oceans, because they realize wealth has to expand. And so therefore, it must have new fresh money. It must have new territory. It must have new investors, new consumers, in order for it to continue to bring posterity and prosperity from one generation to another generation. We must advance the kingdom mindset. Those of you who are in business, you must understand that your business must not just be local. You must begin to set up a market that begins to produce more wealth in different cities, different states, and then international. Getting your brand across the water. This is what other companies have done, not to mention their names, but this is how they've expanded. When you travel to go to France and Africa and different country in Mexico, you begin to see some of the name stores that you and I go to every day here in America. You begin to see those stores are over in other countries. And people are buying their products, eating American foods, wearing American style clothing. Why? Because the investors understood in order to create greater wealth, you must reach greater number of people. So expansion is the key. And so as we cultivate the world-class worldview, he said, we will see what apostles and prophets see. Apostles and prophets see world vision. global vision, not just inner city, not just statewide or just national in our country. The word of God must be spread to all the world. Acts chapter 1, Jesus said in verse 8, after you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, said, then you shall be witnesses to all the world. You know, this is what we're talking about, getting the gospel into all the world. Not only preaching the word of God, but establishing the work of the kingdom. Establishing men and women of all cultures and all tongue and all nations of the earth. This is your participation. It's my participation. Your work with your local pastors and local evangelists and teachers and apostles and prophets in your city that you're sitting under. You must begin to understand that why your tithes and your offerings and your giving and being active in the programs of missions and inner city work. This is why you must engage it, because we have a worldview that God is evangelizing and calling the whole world back unto himself. He's the ministry of reconciliation. God is calling the whole world back unto himself. And that's why you got to get involved. That's why we got to stay involved. We got to understand why we must give and sometimes even sacrifice and put money back for purposes of the ministry, of the work of the kingdom, because it is vital. It is vital that we do this without depending upon the world's system or the world government, all kind of grants and different type of things to support the work of the kingdom. Now, the gospel was preached from Acts of the Apostles, from Romans to Revelation. These writings, these epistles was written to Christians. It was written to the church, not to the world. It was to the church. And so they're believers. And so therefore, believers must understand that our Father have more, owns everything, Psalms 24, that he owns everything. And that whatever we need, whatever our plans, that whatever our assignment he has given to our church, he has also made provisions for that to take place. But you and I must become stewards of that which he has given to us so that we can fulfill the mandate. Fulfill the mandate. Okay, he said we will see and tap into the absolutely unlimited resources of heaven. Wow. We will see and we will tap into the absolute resources, the unlimited resources of heaven. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. According to his riches in glory, which is unlimited. Unlimited blessings, unlimited resources, unlimited wealth. Don't matter how much you draw out, you would never bankrupt heaven. So your needs and your dreams must not be limited. You must think big, act big, manage big, step up big into the work of the kingdom, into the work of the kingdom, and knowing that God will supply. God will supply. If you're a believer, you're sowing, you're blessing God's work, then you're in covenant for the heavenly supply, unlimited supply. I love it. He says also, we will also see that these resources are an inheritance, something we have access to because we have been grafted into, wow, the royal family line of God. Glory to God. You are unlimited. You must tap into the Father's resources. You know, in the story of the prodigal son, the Bible says, after the younger son had left and got his goods, his portion, the oldest son we recognize in Target Inn, that the father said to him, all that I have belongs to you. All that I have belongs to you. And you must understand, and I have also understand and constantly stay focused in on, that all the resources of the father belongs to us. The Father said, I will hold no good thing from them who walk upright before me. So therefore, you realize the Father's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. He wants you to have it. He wants me to have it. He wanted to put it in our hands so we can build the work of the kingdom in the earth realm, the manifested work, not just words, but we talk about manifestations. organizations, buildings, corporate offices, ministries, evangelism ministry, feeding center, clothing centers, shelter, amen, owning property, owning land, owning homes, owning apartment complexes. These type of things we got to see as a part of the mandate of heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. This is all of these things that we're seeing is not for the world's children. It belongs to the children of the Most High God. So we must not limit ourselves to a religious mindset of just being Christians and just being church members. No, we are kingdom investors. We're kingdom businessmen. We're about the Father's business in the earth realm. And the Father is abundantly supplying us for kingdom work so we can get it done. You are a royal member of the royal family, and therefore everything the Father has belongs to you. Belongs to you. So number three is focusing upon when we as believers begin to cultivate a wealthy class worldview. We have to have a world view of what the prophets and the apostles see. This is very vital, important in that first sentence. So if you capture that whole first sentence, that is number three. The question would come from that so that you would know exactly how to respond to the question, because that is the answer, number three. Okay, focusing on number four. The next sentence, it says, this identity is what defines our responsibility to use these vast resources to benefit those around us. This identity. This is very important because, again, as I just finished stating, many people do not realize it's in the body of Christ that this is who we are and this is what we should be doing as the mandate of heaven in the earth realm. To establish the people of God in the earth. Now, there are going to be those who are unsaved who come in and get saved. Praise God. They're being grafted in with us. They'd have to be trained, educated. They become partakers of the blessings that comes upon the body of Christ. So we must be able to engraft and realize that we're expanding the kingdom for all walks of people, all tongues and all nations and all continents. So this expansion has to take place. So our identity, we become identified as the sons of God. If you read in Isaiah 61, he's talking about that we are the trees of the plantings of the Lord, the trees of righteousness, and how that we go about to rebuild the old waste places. This is what we're talking about, restoring that which have been lost, that which have been stolen, giving it right back into the rightful heir's hands. You know, so this is our assignment. So, and we're identified not only by our preaching, but by the works of faith, by the works of faith. Yeah, they can see the goodness of our Father, the glory of our Father in the earth realm. Why? Because they're not only hearing about how good God is, they're experiencing how good God is. And that's because of what you and I do. Amen. That they don't see behind the scenes how we invest into the local church, supporting our pastors, supporting our evangelists, apostles, and prophets. Again, let me give them to you right order: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We support the work of the kingdom, not the government system. Not the government system. Okay? Because we don't want to be tied, our hands tied, and structured by another government when we have the government of the kingdom. Okay? So that's one of the things we have to understand that. He says, he goes on to say, when we start to believe the limitlessness of what we have and the weight of what we are called to do with it, we will come to know and experience the reality of the promises. Of the promises. Let's look over into page 138 to finish that sentence. That we will receive whatever we ask for. That is number five. That is number five. He says, when we start to believe the limitlessness of what we have in the weight of what we are called to do with it. This is when we understand we start seeing the manifestations. We start seeing things coming into fruition. We start beginning to see God increasing us more and more because our hands are on the assignment. We're targeted toward the mandate of heaven. We have what I call organized action. Organized action, that we have vision, we have purpose, we have assignment, we have momentum, and we're going, and we, and our mindsets, our congregation mindset, those who connect with us are focused in on that agenda. That agenda. And this is what's going to bring us into this fullness. This is what's going to bring us into this awakening. You know, that neighborhoods and communities begin to look to God and not to government. They're being to look up to God and not to government because they realize God is our source. God is our source. So this must become our identity. You know, we're builders. We're kingdom builders for the kingdom of God in the earth realm. So we must focus in on our identity and understand that this thing is limitlessness. Man, the supply is without limit. The supply is without limit. So as we turn to page 138, we pick up here in number six. We talk about the supernatural will. The supernatural will invade our lives, and we will finally lose the anxiety that has been so much a part of our culture in Christianity. Isn't that amazing? The church I've struggled. When our Father owns everything, there are no limitations. God is working with us. And yet we have struggled in the realm of finances. Not because God has held anything back. It's because our mindsets have been so limited to our surroundings, to our location, that we don't have a worldview. And we're not trying to reach beyond that surrounding, but operate within the tithes and offerings that come to the ministry and not press to reach the other goals that are beyond the tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. Not having vision, a 2-year plan, or a 3-year, or 5-year plan to build or to establish something and begin to cause kingdom sons and daughters and businessmen of the kingdom to and bringing people together that we're going to support this. We're going to take above and beyond tithes, and we're going to put money toward this work, And we're going to organize and put money toward this work. These are the things that we have to do to achieve at the very maximum level, not the minimum level, maximum level of what we can do in our generation, you know, and giving the next generation the ability, the platform to continue to build upon that same platform. So this is the things that we have to do in order to be effective where God can be seen, not just heard, in the earth realm. God need to be seen. He need to be manifested. You know, in the earth realm. So number six is the supernatural will invade. When we begin to mobilize, when we begin to create momentum, the supernatural of God will invade, and God's supply will begin to be added to us. God's supply will begin to be added to us. You know, the Acts of the Apostles talked about how in the early church, that there was almost 3,000 people added to the church the very first day of Pentecost. And God began to continue to add as such daily. They began to come in and come in. This is what would happen in your work. This would happen in your city. This would happen in the nations. And when you and I engage this work, God would begin to cause the synergy or energy to be so powerful that men will come from the north, south, east, and west and begin to engage in the assignment. Engage in the assignment that God has placed on you and your ministry in your city. And that would begin to cause the exchange that being called to cause the technology, it began to cause the knowledge, the wisdom to build more effectively, more faster, and more stronger. Because why? The supernatural has invaded. The supernatural will of God has invaded into that assignment in your city, in your nation, around your city, and it removes the anxiety of lack. Because that anxiety in most churches, not all churches, but in most churches, that anxiety is the lack of finances, the lack of finances, the lack of people to help get the job done, to get the job done. But you got to begin to activate wherever you are and have organized action to do it. Begin to tap into those areas to do it. See outside of your community. See outside of the small resources that you may have coming in right now. God is bigger than that. If you maximize what you have, excuse me, you will begin to experience the maximized of God in your work, in your assignment. God has resources that you have not tapped into yet. He has people who have not yet joined you, but they are about to, as you begin to see beyond limitations. Listen to what he says here. Anxiety that naturally results from living a life that is devoid of experiencing all the realities that will fill the pages of the Bible we profess to believe and live. Isn't that amazing? Anxiety that naturally results from living a life that is void or devoid of experiencing it. And see, and most people are limited by their experiences. They're limited by their experiences. And they allow their experiences to become their limitations. They live in comfort zones. They don't want to try to expand what they're doing. They don't want new experiences. And so therefore, they walk in the limitation of what they have experienced and what they know. And who they know. And they don't try to go outside the box, outside of that environment to enlarge and to expand it into cultures that's not even a part of their membership. So we cannot even allow ourselves to just focus in on one skin tone. We must understand that the gospel must be preached to all nations, all tongues. And therefore, we must educate ourselves, train ourselves to speak Spanish in other languages, to set up other learning institutions, and bringing in these other men and women of God of light pressure faith who can bilingual, who could speak English in their country languages, bringing these resources in to reach people at a maximum level is what you and I must learn to do. We must learn to do that. That's a cliche that says, if you build it, they will come. And that's a proven true in many, many businesses, in many adventures. They build it, they will come. No matter what state it is, those who are living on the East Coast will travel to the West Coast, and those on the West Coast will travel to the East Coast to experience what's built. They'll cross oceans to come to see what's built. When you build the epic center right where you are, using the abilities that you now have to reach beyond the environment that you're in, you will begin to see the invading forces of the kingdom of heaven, the supplies of heaven begin to come to you and begin to equip you for global and international ministry, reaching and changing lives around the world. My friend, this is not just hypothetical thinking or visualizing. It's a reality. It is happening. And you need to be actively involved in what's happening. So if you're a pastor and you're listening, and you have the vision that God has called you to global ministry, but can't seem to break out the box or just a local environment, then you need to connect to a man of God, a woman of God, who God has placed the assignment in your life, and they're doing the work already. You don't have to rewrite the wheel. Connect to someone who's doing the work. Glean, learn, connect, sow into them. Connect to them properly. And watch God cause the connection or partnership to cause you to expand into global outreach. Global outreach. God has a plan for you. God never gives you a vision without provision. But that provision comes with connection, not isolation, not thinking you got to do it all by yourself. No, you got to connect. This is why I think Jesus in Matthew 10, and I think also Luke 10, when he sent the apostles out, he sent them out in twos. He didn't send them out in ones. He sent them out in twos. He partnershiped them with those of like precious faith, brothers who can walk with them and who was compatible to them, who had the same anointing, the same assignment with them. You know, Peter had a partner that when his boat was sinking because of the abundant supply of fish, he called his partners to bring their ship, and their ships also began to sink. The abundant supply of partnership. Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, you know, Paul and Mark. These guys connected with other apostles to go into, and they're connected with other churches to connect for this work, you know, to get it done. So don't become isolated and thinking that you got to do it all by yourself before you realize you're going to be an older man, older woman, and haven't done what God called you to do because you try to do it all by yourself without connection, without connection. Listen, I encourage you to tap into a global world view of ministry that God has called you to connect. God has called you to connect. And when you do so, you're going to find unlimited resources, unlimited talent, gifts, and ability right in the pews, right where you are. They will begin to assemble in the house as you begin to bring forth connection. Listen, another key that I must share with you as we understand this culture. The fivefold gifts of Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16 are vital. If you're a pastor and you don't have a prophetic, the prophetic or the apostolic mantle, then you need to connect and allow these mantle gifts to come into your ministry from time to time and begin to awaken the mindset of your people, because your people have to be awakened. Your people have to be awakened. They have to see what you see. Without that, they're questioned, they're laid back, and some will even leave because they don't see what you see. And so therefore, they cannot move into what you're trying to move into because they can't see it. You know, so we need God to open the eyes of our understanding. And he does it through the gifts in the body of Christ. Know that you're not alone. You can accomplish this. You can achieve this through unification. So when we're talking about the mindsets of the poor, the middle class, and the wealthy, we're also talking about this rich inheritance that God has given to the body of Christ, and how we must think and how we must transform our thinking into the mind of Christ. The Bible clearly say that this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. It was also in Christ Jesus. No, he thought it not robbery to be equal to God, even though he was. But he humbled himself, and God exalted him by giving him a name above every name. You know, and so therefore you understand that God wants you to connect in the mindsets, the gifts, the abilities in the body of Christ, so that we can get the work done together and not separated. Listen, until next time, you be blessed and begin to visualize the world is in your hands. God bless you.